Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Inspection and Banter podcast. I am going to be your host for this lovely evening. My name is Michael. Over there, I have the sports equipment guy, otherwise known as Zach. Zach, say hello.
Hi, I'm Zach.
Yep. Awesome.
I'm Zach. Yep.
And we have the weeaboo of the West, the VTuber extraordinaire, Gabe.
Hello. I want that on a shirt, by the way. Weeaboo of the West.
Weeaboo of the West, that'll be your own personal title now. Congratulations. Yeah. And for today's episode, we are going to be talking about the normalization of nerd culture. Specifically because we wanted to talk about McDonald's. Boys, how do we feel about McDonald's turning into an anime?
About goddamn time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's already in, like, most animes already. Might as well, like, jump on that. Make money off of it, right?
I mean, it's just kind of weird to see, like, the bleed through of, like, what was originally just them, obviously, you know, them wanting to do McDonald's, but they couldn't do the copyright, so they just made it a W, and then now McDonald's is just like, yeah, all right. We'll make it a whole promotional material. Sure, there we go.
We're now and McDonald's.
Zach, how do you feel?
I think that the WicDonald's is pretty cool. I think it's cool because I think that, like, anime and like a nerd slash geek culture type thing is, it's come a long way. You know, there was a point where anime and comic books and all that just wasn't very main cool. But now I think that it is more mainstream, and a lot of people don't look at it as like, oh, you're weird for like that. It's more like, oh yeah, that's cool, like, you know, I'm into Naruto too, I'm into Dragon Ball Z or something like that, or I'm into you know, Batman, or I'm into, you know, all sorts of stuff. And I think it's become a lot more normalized, and the fact that McDonald's, of, you know, of all companies, has, you know, done their own spin on everything and done like this anime type collab, like, event, this whole like anime event, is, kind of pushing that narrative more, that it's, you know, more normalized.
I mean, Overwatch is doing collabs with anime, which is something we never thought was really going to happen.
They gotta revive it somehow.
Well, yeah, they put in the battle pass and everyone freaked out over there at Blizzard. But no, I mean, I agree, it's pretty weird to see just like what was originally shunned and originally like, oh, you're a nerd. Oh, what, you watch anime? You know, Boku no fuck off, you know? And it's like, oh, damn, okay, I guess I'm just gonna go chill in my corner with my manga like a true anime, Chad. But now it's like, oh my god, you also watch anime? Have you heard of this one? It's pretty niche, called One Piece. And it's like, I've heard of it. Yes, I have. It's not a niche anime. Everyone knows about it.
You know what it is? I think when we were growing up, that was the, like, the turning point, I think. Because specifically, if we're talking about anime started to come over to the West, being translated, I think, a lot more around that time, early 2000s, 90s. And I feel like there's a whole generation of people that just grew up watching it. So now that those people are now adults or entering the adult space, it's just like, yeah, we all watched the exact same bullshit growing up. Anime is now a normal thing because we all grew up watching it, whether it be like Cardcaptors, Sailor Moon, Naruto, One Piece, etc.
Four Kids and Toonami.
So, I mean, I feel like even though it wasn't an anime per se, it was heavily inspired by it. Avatar is another one. I think was probably like a gateway into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's the thing too, is like every few years you're gonna have like this nostalgic boom for a very specific period. I think we're going through ours right now, which is why there's another reason why those animes are pretty popular.
I think as well, it's just also just obviously mixing cultures, which is standard. It just happens.
Also, you know what we gotta keep in mind is also we have a lot of the nerds that were like ostracized when they were kids grew up to be Chads. Like people like, was it John Cena, who was really into like, what was it,
I mean, if we want to talk about growing up in the Chads, Matt Mercer. We Matt gotta Mercer. Talk. If we're gonna talk about nerd culture, we gotta talk about Matt Mercer.
Forget if we're gonna talk about like...
the entire culture of D&D into you can do more than just roll on a table. Like you can do a lot more fantastical things.
If we're gonna talk about D&D, then we should talk about Vin Diesel then, because that's another one who was like. Really, like, I think also helped bring it into the mainstream. That guy was, grew up as a fucking nerd. Now it's Vin fucking Diesel of the Fast and Furious movies.
Henry Cavill.
He's like very, he's open. He's open about the fact he's played D&D back in the day.
Yeah, Henry Cavill. Henry Cavill's another good one. Just like, yeah, like, what would you rather be doing? I'd rather be at home painting my Warhammer 40K figurines. And it's like, that man, bless that man. He has a good heart. But yeah, no, it's just kind of strange to see, especially because around my group of friends, I was the nerd. I knew about D&D and I knew about, you know, magic and all this. And then it's also very nice to see other people get into it as well. Because now you're like, oh man, who would have guessed the star quarterback of our high school football team? He's also now raging about Magic the Gathering having this one random card that just produces bullshit effects.
I feel that about the growing up thing, because back in back when I was in school, again, it was like one small table of me and my friends, and we were those nerds. Yeah. The ones who talked about Magic and D&D at the lunch table.
Yeah, you were over in the corner with the table that was oddly sticky every day for no reason. The lights barely worked, and you're like, well, I don't care. I'm not popular, but my God, I've got my comic. I've got my manga.
Hey, did you see the new dice set that got released by Hero Force? Things like
yeah,
that.
You'd be like planning. Everyone else would be like, "Yeah, I'm going over to Chad's house to get, you know, fucking wasted, dude. His parents bought alcohol, and he has the key to the cabinet. Meanwhile, like you are just like, yeah, that's cool and all, but I'm planning on heading over to my local gaming place to, you know, take a look at some comics. Yeah, like that was it. That was Friday.
Speaking of that, you know what's weird? You were talking about how like that side of like nerd culture space is becoming popular. You know, ironically, I feel like a lot of those like local game shops are no longer around too, though. Despite the popularity like booming, like those places are like closing down still. Like I no longer have a comic book shop in my city anymore because it closed down. Because it just wasn't getting any business. Yet, I feel that comic books in general are becoming more mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, with also the rise of streaming services, you know, like DC Comics has the ability of just, if you want to read Batman issue, you know, 940, you can do that now. You know, you just pay the subscription. But I do agree that it kind of sucks to see those places close down, because those are the only places where, and I swear to God, where an adult can talk to a kid about, like, Magic the Gathering, and no one thinks otherwise. Everyone's like, oh, no, they're just teaching them. And it's like, oh, like, in any other context, that's like, that's creepy. Why is this fat guy balding coming up to this kid and going, hey, you want to learn about how Magic the Gathering works, and you'd be like, this is a pedophile. This is clearly disturbing, but only in the gaming dungeon. Only in the gaming space are you like, nah, this is a guy just wanting to teach D&D or Magic.
Hey, kid. You want to come into my dungeon for 4 hours every Friday night?
When you can't tell if it's a DM or a dominatrix. We wear costumes. That doesn't narrow my God. Down.
We role play and we wear costumes. My God.
I'll punish you for doing bad things. Oh, shit. Is that DMing for kill hoboing or what?
Say kill hoboing? What the fuck? Murder hoboing.
Yeah. Murder hoboing, my bad. Okay, alright. Terminology, sure, whatever.
Oh, man.
But no, it's one of those few places where it's like you can see something like that and you're just like, yeah, no, this is a normal thing. Happens all the time. Yeah, and you don't think twice about it.
Reminds me of that story one guy was telling me about how he got chased out of a store for being a pedophile because he was trying to buy Transformers. And they were questioning why a grown-ass man was in the toy section.
I mean, maybe the guy just really wanted, you know, a collector's item.
Bro,
he could do that.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. I gotta get that war for Cybertron Megatron, bro.
No, you got to. But, like, where else are we gonna have just whole sessions of we're gonna sit down and we're gonna paint minifigures without those stores? Honestly.
I guess the other thing, too, is I guess most people are going for the bigger retailers instead of the local shops.
I mean, yeah, but once again, that's a whole case of brick and mortar. You know, people just want to order it and then they can say they have it, you know.
Right.
People don't go to stores to buy pop vinyl figures anymore. They just go online and just mash the button fast and then put it next to their other pristine pop vinyl figures that don't actually make sense, but
that used to be a fun experience, like going to the comic book shop. It's like taking a look at like what was in like the back issues, saying what was new, picking up what you actually going there for one specific comic and coming out with like a bag of like shit you weren't expecting to buy. But deep down you knew you were gonna buy anyway because you know how you are.
Yeah, you have like 7 card protectors and you're like, why do I have these? I don't play card games. I guess if I ever get into Magic the Gathering, I'm good. I've got card protectors.
Going in here, I'm gonna come in. King Grimlock, go straight to the wall, grab it, don't fucking look at anything else. 5 seconds later, yep, I have failed. I have everything else that I would not.
I was gonna say start to walk past the figurines. Yeah, they always put the figurines right in front of like the comics. And you're like you want the good comics, right? You don't want the ones from the boxes, the 19 boxes they have of just like random mismatched and mis-sorted boxes. So you're just like, well, I gotta go past the figurines, and then you see one, and you're like, oh my God. It's like, yeah, that's like that one's really exciting. And then you look, and you're like, fuck, it's like $70.
I'm still looking at, I have a Transformer, like, it's right in front of my fucking face that I got from the comic book. Last time I went, I was not expecting to buy it. But quite literally, it was one of those things where, like, I grabbed the comic, made the mistake of looking through the back issues, look up from where I'm crouching, and then I see that thing like hanging on a separate wall. I'm just like, fuck, I gotta take that. I used to be the fun of like going to FYE and other like music shops, like just digging through like the album covers and stuff.
Oh my God. FYE. And they would always have a random anime playing in the back right. Just to kind of like get you excited.
Mine had a hentai section.
There's always hentai sections.
Bro, I was not expecting that. Like, I was looking, like, oh, here's all the anime. I see.
Oh, yeah, we're 12-year-old you just walking through.
Yeah.
Like,
see one that has, like, like cardboard over it, and then I move the cardboard, it's like 50 shades of hentai. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know.
That's where
I don't know if it's for every store, but I know over there in the east they have like specific sections, like with curtains and shit, just so people can't look in, like but just so kids don't get in there.
Makes sense.
But I guess that's also just, you know, how we view comics so differently, where we're just like, yeah, whatever. There's a character with half her tits out. All right, sure. Versus over there where it's like, yeah, no, we want to keep everything separated and organized.
And we're just, I feel like it's less about separation, more about we just want everything organized.
Oh my god, yeah, if I could organize the comic book sections, because I'm so tired of just like, oh boy, I found issue number, like, one of the new Wonder Woman, and then you spend like half an hour searching for issue number two, and you're like, I found everything, I found even the classic Wonder Woman collections, god, where's number two? Where's
it's always manga? The worst manga they got box. I feel like they fix them, and then like people go through the fucking boxes and
they do. The people are savages. People will gladly just like go through it and then just be like, oh, I don't want this, and then just shove it somewhere random.
My G, come on, I'm trying to find a specific item, but you just shoved like fucking, I don't know,
yeah, new, it's like, warriors why right next is to the Avengers X-Men in the wow. X-Men section, yeah. You think, like, over there in the East, it's almost like the same thing? Like, they have very niche selections of Western comic books, like Superman?
They probably do. I feel like West, like, there are, like, they feel like there is a rise of, like, America booze, just the same way that weeaboos are kind of mainstream over here. I feel like, I don't know if it's mainstream over there yet, but I feel like there is like a rising number of people who are obsessed with like Americana, so to speak, or like Western comics and shit like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they probably have their own mangas for it too. I know Spider-Man had a manga run for a while over there in Japan. It was alongside the Spider-Man TV show. Which is, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend you go watch a few episodes of the Messenger from Hell, Spider-Man. Because that's how he used to introduce himself.
I can't hear Spider-Man without thinking of Italiano Spider-Man. Oh, that's my God. Stupid feel... YouTube bit.
My God.
But speaking of TV, and Zach, I want to get to you here, because you've been kind of quiet. Do you think that the rise of like the Marvel movies and the DC cinematic universe has definitely been influential to
yes, nerd culture? Yes, I would certainly say that the MCU and DCU have been very influential. I think MCU more. The DC, you know, universe has a lot of good TV shows mainly, and you know, Marvel does really good in the movies. It's normally been like the thing that's but I will say Marvel has done a lot more shows in recent history because of Disney Plus. But I think, you know, especially leading up to for the MCU, leading up to Endgame and Infinity War, I think that was like really hype. A lot of people were really excited, and pretty much everyone had seen the movies, you know, so I think that has led to an increase in a lot of the culture expanding. I think that, you know, because there's so many different brands, like Under Armour. You know, I've seen, like, The Flash for, like, DC. I've seen, like, Flash shirts and, like, you know, because Under Armour did some stuff. I've seen, like, soap brands do collabs. I've seen so many different, you know, companies do collabs. Obviously, we've seen, like, you know, Spider-Man games, they're working on Wolverine game, you know. So I think that it was, you know, the MCU has played a major role. I think Disney Plus and their TV shows has played a good role. The TV shows, the DC is, you know, and the video games they've released have also had a contribution to gaining more traction.
But do you think that they're starting to produce too many TV shows? Because it's we're starting to get into the real niche and nitty gritty where it's like, here's WandaVision, and it's like, that's great that like these shows that like are for characters, but I don't know. It feels like to me like there's we're starting to hit that overpopulation of TV shows of like, hey, now your niche character has his own 2-season TV show, and it's like that cool, but like I don't know. It's like it wasn't done right.
Can I butt in?
Sure.
Real quick, and I was gonna go to what you just said there. It wasn't done right. I feel it's less about like too much stuff and just like too much shitty stuff. And I don't know. That's a result of them trying to pump out as much as they can, but like the quality from like Endgame, and I'm specifically talking about the MCU from Endgame and beyond, like drops significantly. We grew up essentially watching those characters evolve and come to like their stories come to an end in Endgame. Iron Man, Captain America, and I gotta say it's really great like character development for most of those characters, but then I don't know what it is, like most of the writing for all this new shit coming out now doesn't hit quite as hard, or I feel like some of the writers think they've already the hard work has been done, so now they're getting lazy about it. But just like I don't feel like I'm alone. I think a lot of people don't like it either.
I just think personally that it's coming down to a case of they're becoming too niche. Like I said, like now your favorite character who isn't that big, like Rubberman, right? Now Rubberman has his own TV show. And it's like, if he had a movie with him and a couple other characters, you know, like how Suicide Squad kind of did it. You know, okay, that's A-okay, that's fine. But, like, do we really need shows and movies for all these sorts of niche heroes? Because, you know, these aren't really thought out. Like, She-Hulk, for instance. I'm sure if She-Hulk was just a movie, it would have done a lot better than being a film. Or not film, TV show.
If it was a film, it would have been better than a film.
Yeah, if it was a movie, then turned into a film, that makes no sense. But no, I think if it was just something like a movie instead, I think it would have done better. Or maybe even, I don't know, take the time out and just go like, okay, well, what can we do with She-Hulk? And like, you know, same thing with the Marvels. It just kind of feels like they're just printing way too many scripts way too fast. And it's like affecting these characters that are like, they're great if you read them in the comics. But like, when you sit down and you look at their TV shows and their movies, it's like, wow, this is awful.
Ass. That's true. I would argue it's probably like that, what you just said, trying to pump out as much.
Yeah. Zach, do you think it's become oversaturated?
Well, so I think that you're talking about niche characters, okay? And they sometimes these Marvel TV shows they only have a season, 2 seasons. They don't really last very long, right? And the thing is, I don't think there's a problem with the length of the TV shows, right? Because the point of the TV shows is to essentially, like, I don't know, fill the gap between the movies. That's pretty much it. It's just supposed to, like, hey, we're going to have this Moon Knight TV show, but we don't want to spend all the time making a movie. So we'll just spend about, like, an hour for each episode. So it's about 8 hours, okay, I guess, you know, and we'll, you know, tell the story, right, between the next movie, right? Because all of the characters that they have of TV shows, you know, they're in the MCU, right? And so doing so automatically instills that they're going to be somehow played in the future for some greater role. You know, they're coming out with the Daredevil. They did the She-Hulk. We saw in She-Hulk, spoiler alert, Daredevil was in She-Hulk. Echo, Daredevil's in that too. So it's all kind of a web, and it's all interconnected. And as far as oversaturation, there's a slight chance that, because, yes, they were trying to pump out a lot of them, that maybe the quality maybe had dipped, okay? But, you know, when you're comparing it to what the first couple phases were, especially leading up to Endgame, Endgame was, like, so freaking hype that, like, I don't really see how they're going to compete with that unless they get to, you know, Avengers Secret Wars, which maybe that could compete, but it's such a, you know, peak event. It's like, whoa, like, I don't know how you compete with that. But overall, a lot of the content that has come out, I myself have enjoyed. You know, there are small things that I've noticed that, like, I'm like, ah, the CGI was kind of not great on that one. But I've enjoyed the ride of, you know, Guardians 3 and She-Hulk. I actually didn't think it was that bad after watching. And I was like, okay, you know, that wasn't, you know. I don't think that what Marvel is producing is just complete garbage. I don't think it's, you know, I just think that we had seen them reach such high highs that, like, our some of our expectations are now higher for what, the, you know, they can do. Because we've seen them get, you know, produce good things. But as far as creating niche character shows, I get kind of excited because it's like if the DC superheroes, you know, DC came out with, like, you know, they came with Swamp Thing show, you know, and that's a niche character. You know, if they came out with, like, a Solomon Grundy show, you know, these characters don't really get a lot of light. So, like, to give characters light and be like, yo, can we add Blade, and we're gonna add Ghost Rider, and we're gonna add Punisher, and it's just like, sick, I've always wanted a Moon Knight show. Not many people know about Moon Knight, or very, you know, so unless you're in the comic books and you might know about him, but otherwise you're just like, yeah, who the heck's Moon Knight, you know? But then you have to watch it and be like, oh, that's a sick character. So I think that creating a bunch of shows can be helpful, but also harmful, obviously, if it's not done in, I guess, correctly, if you're not really taking care of the product and making sure it's a well-maintained product, and it's just, like, you know, dropping a bunch of them, could definitely be problematic if you're not, you know, making sure the script's good. I know they've had, like, a lot of people try probably change on who the script writers have been, the directors have changed, you know, so, like, the people who did Endgame and Infinity War, those directors, the Russo brothers, they aren't working with Marvel anymore, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, and obviously for Guardians, the director who did that, James Gunn, he's not going to be there anymore. So switching out directors, obviously you're going to switch out the vision that people have for the movies. So, you know, that leaves, you know, the, you know, Kevin Feige in a position to find people who can maybe carry a vision or work with teams in good chemistry and to keep telling the story they've been telling for, like, over a decade. So...
I gotta disagree with you on the having high expectations thing. I don't think asking for a competent or basic script is having high expectations. I don't even want, like, excellent writing, just okay writing. And some of these shows that are coming out have not been hitting that mark. And I don't think that's
demanding. Give me an example.
I have a really big issue with some of the stuff from WandaVision. Especially post, like, how people were treating her after she, left that town of, like, hypnosis or whatever the hell you want to call it. Mm-hmm. The line that really, like I hated was, these people will never know what you've done for them. And it's like, why are you treating Wanda as if she's done something good? Like, I don't know if it's just bad writing. Was I too drunk and I needed to go back and watch something? But controlling someone for a while, right? Taking away their agency, releasing them afterward, it's not something that you should get praised for, right? These people will never know what you've done for them. These people just went through a traumatic event. I don't think there's any reason why they should be thanking you. That really bothered me watching that. That's the first one that comes up to the top. I didn't like Echo either. Stop watching
it. Echo? Why didn't you like Echo? Yeah.
I didn't like it. I don't know. I might give it a rewatch, but I don't know. First episode, I was like, eh.
It was their first R-rated show.
The rise of television shows, especially of comic book heroes, I think has also led greatly to just a lot of that nerd culture, because now people are like, oh, now I have something to watch. Though I will say, being a nerd during the rise of nerd culture is very entertaining, because a lot of the old folks don't get it. And they're like, what the hell is this? And at the same time, I don't need to be awkward and watch as people my own age or younger look at me and go, what the hell is this? I can sit there and properly explain that, yeah, I mean, Captain America is a guy who throws a shield like a frisbee and no one bats an eye. And it's a beautiful thing. Same thing with VTubers. I don't need to explain it, but thanks to nerd culture. I'm like, yep, that's just a person who's shy and doesn't want to show their face. And everyone's like, all right, nope, makes sense. Got it. Understand just, completely.
Just like me, for real, for real.
Nerd culture, not nerd culture, VTubers, as well being rising up now, has also been a very weird thing to see.
Well, like, if you would have told me 50 years ago I didn't need to show my face on camera, I just had to put a little anime avatar and fucking play video games, I would not have believed you.
I mean, I'm just glad, because now it's, like, people who are awkward, especially since that was the meta of, like, oh, well, you have to show your face on webcam, and now it's like, no, you don't. No, you're good. You're good now.
Yep. I was going to say, to go back to what you were saying, I do like the fact that now that we have so many people kind of entering the nerd sphere, it is fun to like be there with them as they're discovering new things. If that makes sense, right?
Yeah, because now you're seeing their reactions to the things that you had reactions about. Where you're spoiler alert, by the way, for Endgame. A movie that came out in like 2014? When did Endgame drop? 2019! Wow. Spoiler alert for a 2019 film, by the way. It's like now you get excited because, you know, Captain America wields Mjolnir, and it's like you see other people get excited about it, and you're like, I know! In the comics, it was such fucking cool shit! It was so awesome to see! Like, you flip to another panel, and then bam, there it is! And everyone's like, oh! And then everyone's in theater like, oh my god, he's building Mjolnir, that's the coolest shit ever! And you're like, I know! I've been waiting so long to tell you about this! And then you're like, go read issue number 192 to see what else he does with Mjolnir. And everyone's like, fuck! I mean, it's true. That's the problem. That's one of the big problems with comics is they're like, yeah, he can wield Mjolnir. And now it's going to take like 40 issues for them to actually, you know, do something with it. They'll just forget about it for a couple issues, and then it'll be suddenly relevant again, and then forgotten about till next time. It's like, oh, great, grand. I'm glad. But yeah, VTubers are popping off in ways no one could have imagined. Like concerts now as well,
full ass concert convention. It's great to be a weeb. Yeah. Great to be a weeb of the West.
It's great to be a nerd of the West. That's true. Said, there's just so much more comfortability. You know, you don't have to hide it. Though, speaking of nerds, and speaking of the East, shall we talk about Dragon Ball Z?
Uh-oh. I didn't know if we were going to mention.
I think if we're going to talk about manga and anime, I think we should at least briefly bring up the passing of Akira Toriyama.
Talking about a man who I feel like his work was probably one of the first things that brought people into probably anime. You know, Dragon Ball Z, what was it? It used to be one of the big three, you know? Alongside like One Piece and Naruto.
Yeah, no, it was like seeing that come across your feed is just one of those things where you're just like, oh, damn. And especially because now it's like, where does the manga go now that the creator is gone?
I remember when I, so you know how I don't see shit during the day because I'm asleep, right?
Yeah.
So I'm at work, come in at work. One of the guys is at the computer already. It's like 12 at midnight. Just like, bro, Toriyama died. You're just like, bro, what? And we all are just like, damn, bro, he's dead. 3 hours later, we get one of the transportation operators coming in. He's like, yeah. He's like, did you hear the news? And we're just like, yeah, bro, he's dead. Like, the whole office is just like now in like sad and mourning because of it. It's like, damn. Did we all like grow up watching Dragon Ball? Here's the thing, right? We're talking about like an office full of like people of different ages. Like, I'm the youngest guy there in my 20s. And I got people over here like in their 40s and 50s, 30s, who are just like, can't believe like the Dragon Ball creator is dead. That to me is fucking crazy that that man had like touched like not only like one generation, but multiple generations.
It is definitely one of those animes that will last throughout the ages. And I mean, if we even want to go far beyond that, like, half the abridged scene, abridged, by the way, being like a YouTube, basically, a bunch of people on YouTube doing voiceover stuff for our animes. And then obviously doing their own scripts and stuff. That's typically what an abridged is for the listeners at home who don't understand it.
To be less obtuse, it's a parody series.
Yes. Yeah, it's basically it's a parody series with people creating their own scripts and then doing voiceovers for the characters, etc. From an anime. Or manga, depending. The manga's a bit harder. But no, he basically, if it weren't for Dragon Ball Z, there wouldn't really be an abridged scene. You know?
I feel it's like
kinda, yeah.
Between the Dragon Ball and I feel like the Yu-Gi-Oh ones that really like made that whole like subgenre on YouTube or on the internet, whatever you want to call it, that sort of content.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, it's just strange, dog. It's strange. Like, the impact, unknowingly, of an anime or a manga, and then, you know, obviously blending that over here into the West of just, like, you know, like the amount of feed that I saw that just absolutely went nuts over the death of Akira Toriyama.
But did, like, you see what was going on in Argentina?
In Mexico, didn't they hold a whole parade?
Hold on. Argentina, my guy. Argentina.
Argentina?
Yeah. All the cosplayers coming out.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, this is just beautiful to see. But yeah, no, nerd culture in the West is on the rise.
Now, do you think that's a bad thing or a good thing? Personally, like, as someone I would argue is in the nerd sphere, for you, like, do you consider that a good thing or do you consider that a bad thing?
I mean, overall, I would consider it a net good thing, because I've always been the type of person of, like, open up your eyes and open up your beliefs. Because who knows, like, maybe you will find a manga or an anime that you're like, yeah, I'm really invested into the show. And the big thing is like, oh, well, like manga and anime are just like kids' cartoons, and it's like it's not cartoons for kids. Like they talk about serious, like very serious subjects, like child abuse. They bring out murder. They do all these sorts of different things and go over traumas and all that. Where it's like with the modern day kids' cartoon, they won't even touch like any type of violence, let alone go, hey, we're gonna dive on into childhood trauma and abusive households and what that could do to the psyche of a person.
I feel like that just goes into the fact that most people don't consider animation or graphic novels to be like serious pieces of media.
And it's an absolute shame because they are. They most absolutely definitely are. Avatar goes really great into death, into life, into rebirth. See, now I'm having to think of anime. I can't think of one that goes into it. Like Clannad kind of goes into childhood abuse and trauma.
I was gonna say also, like, even if it was just childish stuff, it was just like, what's the problem with that? Like, I will always go back and think of C.S. Lewis's quote, where he talks about like abandoning childish things as an adult. He says, "I abandon all my childish things, including the fear of acting like a child," meaning that he has no problem like indulging in like those childish flights of fantasy or in childish things as an adult, because he said like he doesn't see the point in like being afraid of like enjoying that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I would have to say is that it is overall, it's the net positive. Am I aggravated sometimes by the people who proclaim to be nerds, even though they don't really like all they do is they like, oh, well, I'm a nerd. And it's like, oh, what do you do? It's like, oh, I only watch Marvel. And it's like, do you like collect comics? Do you like, you know, go on the wikis and research, you know, more about the characters? Or do you just, it's like, no, I only watch the TV shows. And I'm like, I don't like that's when I start to break it down. I'm like, ah, so you're a mainstream nerd. And this is how I did it with anime, because so many people were like, oh, no, I'm super big into anime. And I'm like, oh, OK, name some. What have you been watching? And they go, well, Naruto. I'm like, OK, that's mainstream. All right. And they go, occasionally watch an episode of One Piece. I'm like, okay, that's another mainstream one. And I'm like, I'm looking for like the niche ones that are like, yeah, like Lucky Star or Gunsmith Cats.
Fucking Lucky Star considered fucking niche.
Well, back in my high school, yeah, because I was like, you know, not a lot of people watched Lucky Star. I wasn't really something you would just turn on Toonami and just go see, but like something like One Piece you could find almost anywhere, Naruto you could find almost anywhere, Dragon Ball Z you could find almost anywhere. Like those to me were considered mainstream animes. Right. So when a person would talk to me and they'd be like, oh no, I'm super into anime, and then they started listing off mainstream stuff, I'm like, okay, so you're not like really into it. You're just into like the mainstream, hey, everyone else loves this, so you kind of like learned to love it too. Not, hey, here's some like super niche thing. Like I'm sure you have the same reaction when it comes to VTubers and people going, yeah, I love VTubers, and you're going, oh, like which ones do you watch? Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's like they list off all the mainstream ones, and it's like,
I watch Kitsune AI. I'm just like, oh, okay.
Project Melody, and it's like,
Oh, yeah, no problem.
It's like, oh, okay, you know what? Sure, well, all right.
That brings me then to a question I have for both of you.
What's up?
What are your thoughts then about gatekeeping? Because I feel that's a very controversial subject.
Personally, gatekeeping, I don't like.
at all.
Because, as I said earlier in the podcast, I'm one of those people who, you know, always keep your experiences open. Right? Like I believe in, you know, closed doors of, no, you can't know about this. Because, you know, and that's gatekeeping, and I hate gatekeeping, because then you're turning somebody who could potentially really love this thing, you know, into someone who might not be willing to try it because you didn't want them to try it. You know, instead, you know, I'm always about the encouragement of like, yeah, like, here's some basic guides and materials so that way you can kind of sit down and understand it. Like, same thing with D&D. You know, we have people in some of my D&D games who have, like, barely played D&D or never played D&D, and instead of gatekeeping it, like, no, okay, here's what we recommend. Here's some things that you can do. Here's how you can kind of figure everything out. And now we have, you know, those players are turning out to be really great players. They're understanding the game well. They're asking questions. You know, they're inciting. They're doing all their checks properly now. And we would have lost those players had we gone, no, you're not allowed to play because you don't have the experience. So that's, I think gatekeeping is an absolutely stupid idea, and it's stupid in concept. I think, however, putting, like, don't throw a person into the deep end and expect them to swim. You know, if I were to ask you for recommendations on, you know, VTubers, you might not, you know, don't fucking put me in with the deep ones and just go, yeah, so here's their entire concept and character and blah blah blah. It's like, no, just give me some starters on, like, some of the entertaining ones that people majority like, and we'll go from there, and then we'll start to get into the niche ones. But that's just me. Zach, how do you feel about gatekeeping? It's even kind of quiet.
What do you mean by gatekeeping?
Like, so let's say that there's, let's go back to D&D. Let's say that you have a friend, and that friend wants to get into D&D, and your friends go, no, you're not allowed. Like, just to give a very rough example of gatekeeping, like, you're telling a person, like, you're not allowed to get into this thing because it's my thing.
Oh, wait, that's pretty dumb. Yeah, that's dumb. Yeah, that sounds dumb. Yeah, I mean, like, I should be able to get what I want because, like, this is my life, man. And if I, like, want to get into that, and, like, why would someone, like, want to stop you from getting into something unless they really think it's going to be, like, harmful for you? But otherwise, like, I don't really see, like, you know, if I want to get into D&D, I'll get into D&D. If I want to watch Marvel movies or read comic books, I'll do that, you know? So, yeah, I think that's kind of stupid.
Now, let me play devil's advocate for a second. Let me grab my mic for this one just so you guys can hear me clearly. I feel like gatekeeping a lot of times gets a bad rep, but I think it is necessary in some cases. We were talking earlier, and I'll use D&D as a perfect example. There are some people that just show up to your table, and they have some of the most horrendous, like, dispositions. There are very few things at my personal tables that I don't allow, or as a group that we don't allow. And we make that very, very clear whenever someone new joins us. If you push it and you try to go to those, I already said, like, things like rape and sexual assault is not allowed at my table. If you start pushing it to that, we're kicking you out of the table. That's a form of gatekeeping. And I feel that in those cases like that, it is very much okay to gatekeep. If it's to, like, keep the space, I'm a little drunk now, so I'm trying to find the right words. To keep the space acceptable for everyone, then I feel like gatekeeping is exactly what you need to do. If that means telling someone that they're not allowed to play anymore with you, or to tell them that they have to go find some other place to go play with you, I am fine with that. I could not give a rat's ass if it means like this person's not going to be able to play D&D. If you're making my players feel uncomfortable or you're making the dungeon master feel uncomfortable, the door's right there. I'm not letting you sit at the table. And I feel that's the same way. Now, don't get me wrong. I feel like there are people who gatekeep in very nitpicky ways. Not knowing all the rules to like a game system, and you're trying to tell that person they're not a real fan or a real player of that game system, I feel like is a dick move. But when it comes to like protecting your space, then I think you do need to like push and shove and gatekeep. And I feel that applies to some other spaces as well, not necessarily just to the tabletop scene. Because don't get me wrong, I've been on the other side of that, where like, I think I told you about like last episode we recorded, we were talking about music, right? I mentioned how I'm really into rock and metal, and those fans are some of the worst fans at that gatekeeping, where it's like you just seeing like a fucking band shirt, and the first thing they'll do is try to trip you up with questions to say, are you an actual fan? Like, oh, name three songs, name three fucking albums or whatever. It's fucking annoying, especially when you do like give them the answer. Sorry, I cut you off. What were you saying, Michael?
Well, I was gonna say before you added that. I mean, that's just the difference between just a shitty person and a good person, and that's also the specifications of like getting into the real specifics of gatekeeping. Because to me, the specific of gatekeeping is you're shutting a person out completely, regardless on what they have done. So, like, going back to the D&D example, if they've never played, and you're like, hey, no, like, I want to keep this pure to the nerds. You know, the nerd culture only is allowed to sit there and play D&D. Like, to me, that's gatekeeping. You know?
Here's the funny thing is earlier you were saying like you're talking about like mainstream nerds and like nerds. People would consider that a form of gatekeeping. Like people would consider what you said a form of gatekeeping.
Oh, absolutely. Like
ostracizing that one group of people or differentiating between the two. And I feel that's fine. I don't think there's anything bad with like drawing a line in between. Like, oh, these guys are like, they got their toes into the nerd sphere. These guys over here have been swimming in like the 10-foot-full like fucking end of the pool.
No, for, like, I gatekeep in that instance, but at the same time I also try and like open up their minds to like other animes outside of the mainstream populace. To me though, if you only sit there and you're like, "Hey, I don't care." You know, you're not an anime person because, you know, you don't, or I'm not going to help you get into anime because you only watch mainstream or you don't watch anime at all. Then one, that's just you being a dick. And second, that's gatekeeping. You're trying to keep people out of a hobby or interest. In the instance of the D&D game, you have a guy who's just being a dick. So yeah, you know, you gave him a shot, you gave him a chance to sit down and play D&D, you let him into the gates, he's being a dick about it, and you go like, hey, yeah, fuck off, we don't want you here anymore. But you're not shutting him out. You're not sitting there going, I don't want you to understand how D&D works. Or, no, go understand it on your own terms. To me, that's what gatekeeping is. Gatekeeping is, I don't want you here, regardless of your experience or your stature. Once again, we've had great players in my D&D game who never played before, and they're doing fantastic. And had we gatekept them, we wouldn't have known what they were good at, and that they were fantastic players. And they probably would have never actually been able to sit down and have a proper game of D&D. Am I picky and choosy in terms of the gatekeeping definition? Yes. But once again, I believe in the chance to open up a person's mind. And if they don't want to, like, going back to the anime example, if they don't want to sit there and watch those animes, okay, fine. In my eyes and in my book, you're a mainstream person. You like mainstream anime, and that's perfectly okay. But just don't be surprised that when I start talking about, you know, random animes with my friends and you're unable to keep up, then that's on you.
Well spoken.
Thank you. I try.
Anything to contribute, Zach?
Gatekeeping has a place, maybe, I guess. It seems like it. The way you explained it made sense. But, like, if you don't really have a good reason for it, you know, that, you know, otherwise, stopping someone from having fun sounds stupid. Time and a place, I guess.
Exactly. Like I said, with the whole, you know, even down to anything, if you stop a person from experiencing that thing, that's gatekeeping. You're preventing them, or you're denying them the access or the entrance. Now, if they come in and they're a dick about it, then you can go, okay, we gave you a shot, you know, goodbye, get the fuck out of here. But, you know, in my eyes, like, you always got to give a person the chance or the opportunity, you know, to sit down. Because, you know, like I said, maybe they will like it. Maybe some of the niche animes that I recommend, they will enjoy. Or at the very least, they'll go out and watch and go, well, I didn't quite like this. You know, there were some problems here and there. And then that helps generate discussion as to why this thing is the way that it is and not just, well, he didn't want me to watch it, so I just never bothered. Because then, like I said, you're just kind of being a dick.
You know what's funny is that there's also, like, since we were talking about VTubers earlier, and now we're talking about anime, there is a subgroup of people who do not like VTubers who do not watch anime. Because there are a few of them who aren't really into anime, but go on to be the VTuber. They grab the model, they stream as the character.
I mean, consider VTubers, like, at this point, VTubers and anime are two separate things.
Oh, most definitely. Streaming, it's essentially, we're talking about streaming and then anime, which are two different fields entirely. No, but there are some who are like, go out of their way to, like, not, I say this, to antagonize those who don't actually, like, aren't in, like, I guess, the same anime space. Because despite the fact that them being different, they are related in some way, right?
I feel without anime, VTubers wouldn't exist.
And I feel like the majority of them, I would argue that
I think VTubers would exist, but I don't think they would exist within the current style and format they exist now. I think no matter what, VTubers would exist, because obviously you just have people who just don't want to show their face, and that's perfectly okay. You know, that's perfectly fine that, like, in front of an audience of from 100 to 100,000, you just don't want to show your face because you don't want to get stalked in public. You know, I mean, male or female, regardless, you know, it's a good thing to keep your identity.
Even before the rise of VTubers, we did have PNG tubers.
Yeah.
And those were very common. It's like YouTubers that never show their face but have, like, a little avatar that not necessarily is not animated, but is there.
Yeah, and virtual and VTubers literally just brought in the animation aspect of it. Of, yeah, you can see them move their head around and do all sorts of things. And
here's some lore to go with the character model, blah, blah.
Oh, if you want lore. Some people just don't. Some people just want, you know, like I said, the avatar, just so they can talk and not feel awkward about it.
To be fair, most of them who have lore, like, are constantly ignoring it too.
Well, that's just weird to me. Why would you have lore about yourself? And it's like, why can't you just, like, share, like, your experiences? Why do you need to have this lore?
I do enjoy.
I'm not saying be like, yeah, I'm a 27-year-old from Brooklyn, but like, to be like, yeah, you know, I play these games, you know, I've done these things, and just have that be the lore. You know, it's like, oh, I worked in an office for a couple years. And it's like, oh well, there we go. There's some of the lore.
Some people do mix. Some people do mix it in, like some of the stuff in their lore is clearly based off stuff in real life. Iron Mouse's lore of being like a demon from hell. She does mix in the fact that she can't go outside because of her medical conditions, but in her lore, forget the exact reasoning in her lore as to why she can't really interact with people. But it's clear, like, if you know the person, then you know exactly what she's referencing in her lore when she talks about, like, not being able to actually make friends with people. Mm-hmm. And then you have others like Juniper, who's just, like, her lore is that she has no fucking lore. She just creates new outfits for no fucking reason when she wants to.
Yeah, I mean, I said my piece on it. Honestly, like, lore for a character. I mean, yeah, no, lore is just weird. I was thinking about it, and I'm like, no, lore's just a weird thing to have. I mean, I guess it's also kind of fun in case you ever do, like, an ARG, but, like, it's very hard to kind of get into the mentality and stay within the mentality of the character. And that's kind of the entire point of lore, is that, like, these are defined characteristics. Like, Batman, for instance, is not going to just sit there and go, all right, so, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking we make it the color pink on the character. We have access to highlights. I'm thinking we put highlights right here. And it's like, no, Batman's always been doom and gloom. That's his entire shtick.
I'm thinking about, like, a pink Batman suit right now.
Yeah. Where's Cancer Awareness Batman? Where's that?
Oh, shit, I'd pay for that.
Honestly, I think a lot of people would.
Again, Cancer Awareness Batman special issue.
Or, like, it's, the women. Like, Batgirl and all that. Just in pink for breast cancer awareness. But, yeah, no, dude, VTubers having a lore is just kind of weird to me. It's just a strange concept. But, speaking of strange concepts, Wick Donald's.
We're going Wick full Donald's. Circle, babe.
Yeah, Wick Donald's is real.
Wick Donald's real.
Wick Donald's is real. And it's... Once again, going back to the start of the show, it's a very strange thing to see. Honestly, it really is. Of just, has anyone actually tried the chili sauce though?
No, I don't eat fast food anymore.
Zam.
The burgers don't taste as good as like actual burgers. I think I've ruined my palate.
By tasting actual food?
Yeah.
How dare you?
This is what happens when you work at like a meat production place. It's like you start experimenting with different meats. Now you go back to taste cardboard and it's just like, man, this tastes like cardboard.
Yeah, you're just kind of sitting there just like, man, this is not as good as I remember.
Right. Like, yeah, I ate Burger King the other day for the first time in like years. And I was just like, this does not taste at all like Burger King that I remember.
Mm.
Doesn't taste good anymore. I had meat, like, this is a non sequitur, so I'm sorry, but I had meatballs the other day that weren't like a special, like the meatballs I typically now eat are mixed with like spices, cheese, and bread and whatnot. It's just meat, and I was just like, these don't taste like meatballs anymore.
So,
going back to McDonald's, by the way.
Going back to McDonald's.
I'm not surprised that McDonald's would jump on the anime bandwagon.
Because it's used in almost every anime.
Yeah, it's just the marketing.
Every place has a McDonald's and they can't use the copyright.
Honestly, I'm more surprised it took them this long to do it.
Yeah, I. You know what? Honestly, I want to be in the board meeting. Who sat there and was like, well, you know, my child was watching this thing called anime, and on it they had a McDonald's place, but they had a W, and everyone just went, holy shit, you're right.
You know, it's funny. I don't think they're the first ones to do it either. Didn't Taco Bell have like a fake anime trailer for the nacho fries like a year or two ago?
I don't remember that.
I do remember, and the only reason why I remember it is because it was a mecha anime, but also because one of the billboards, they had a VTuber, Gargura, and that became really big, and the VTubers seemed like, oh, look, Gargura's on TV in a Taco Bell commercial.
This is a real thing? I just looked it up, and it was a real thing.
Oh my god, really? Hold on, I have to find the Taco Bell... I don't know why I just looked up Taco Bell anime. Holy shit, it's real.
You
Taco
can download
Bell Nacho
the
Fries Fry Force.
I just clicked on the Fry
PDF
Force manga.
The manga.
There you go, guys.
Is this 20 pages.
That's what I'm saying.
They actually came out with their own manga.
McDonald's took
manga.
This long to be a thing when Taco Bell was doing this shit like way before.
You know what? Taco Bell, though, has always been a Chad. Taco Bell has always been in the cutting edge of...
Listen,
we know
they're doing...
We appeal to anime.
They're doing a fucking gelato. Baja Blast Gelato this year is coming out, apparently. So I feel like they are on the cusp of the future.
Where's the...
You know they had their own E3 style event, right? Because they did that.
What
they had
the
their
fuck?
Taco Bell had their own like E3 event where they just unveiled like a bunch of different Taco Bell.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking like, about. The gelato thing they unveiled at that event. And dulce de leche Cinnabons, which I'm fuck, that sounded really Hispanic. That I'm
I was gonna say that was clean.
The fucking new Cinnabons bites or whatever are gonna come out. Dulce de leche flavor. And some pastelillos that are, I think they're called chicken and empanadas or something like that. Crispy chicken somethings. What type of world do we live in where people are having fucking conventions for like food? Restaurants are having their own conventions just to unveil new food.
Listen,
products.
Taco Bell is on top of it though. Like eventually we're going to hit the Burger King convention. Everyone's going to be like, all right, whatever. But, like, Taco Bell, listen, if you want to see where fast food and innovation's going, just go look at Taco Bell. I don't know who they hired, but, like, they're always, like, on top of it.
I know what I'm going to order right after the podcast is over.
I wish I had money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Crispanada, that's what they're calling it. Just pulled up Uber Eats for it.
So, speaking of the normalization of nerd culture in the West here, shall we talk about video games and how that has become such a mainstream norm? Like, there's a console in almost every house now.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I remember, I feel like it's, like, back when we were kids... It wasn't too big. As a matter of fact, I feel like the mainstream actually kind of demonized it for like there was a period when they were just demonizing video games for a while. Still kind of do sometimes, but I remember when every school shooting was attributed to like a person playing video games. Because I remember that time. It was not a good time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like video. I don't really know.
Gone complete 180, where it's just like, yeah, no, video games are just normal now.
Yeah, I mean, once again, like, you have a console in almost every house now. Like, regardless, you know, even if you don't, like, I have a PC, a fully fledged PC that could play almost any game on the market. And here I have my little PS5 next to it, and I still have some of my PlayStation 2 stuff. And it's like, video games have just, like, absolutely blown up. nowadays you can talk about Pac-Man to basically anybody, you know, or like what's going on in the modern day gaming, and people would just automatically understand and just be like, oh yeah, you know, you're talking about these indie games, and there's all this, and it's just, it's crazy to me how ingrained like video games have become to culture.
Multi-generational too.
Well, yeah, multi-generational.
Going back to my own work office, like, I got people, older people, talking about video game. To me, and it's just like, nice. I finally have a group of people I can talk to about this sort of thing.
No, it's, like I said, it's just, it's a strange, strange thing of just like, yeah, like, now you have, like, everybody from, I wouldn't even say, like, CEOs, but, like, I don't know, people who wouldn't really play video games before, or like they were like mobile games only, are now just like, yeah, like I picked up a controller, I've played COD for a number of times, and it's like, wow, like, and you're really fucking good at it, mind you. But no, it's just, it's a strange thing. Zach, has there been any nerd culture rise up that you've been, like, you know, curious about? Or that you're like, I didn't expect this to blow up? It's kind of hard to think of.
I'd say, more. I mean, I guess, like, I'm more surprised that anime has blown up more than I'm surprised that comic books have blown up, okay? Just because, you know, anime is more like Japanese animation, right? Anime, you know, is, you know, like the art style. Some people are like, oh, this is confusing, I could never watch that. You know, mangas, you know, are different from, you know, how you would normally read a comic book. You go in the opposite direction. So, like, I guess some of that stuff, I think, oh, how it's blown up in America, it's like really cool. Versus comic books, the only reason because of that is comic books, you know, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, you know, and Marvel, and Detective Comics for DC, and then Dark Horse Comics and stuff like that. You know, a lot of these started in America. And a lot of the symbols for the superheroes were based on different world events that might have been happening in America. So, like, I just think that because of that, I'm more surprised that anime and manga has had a increase in popularity in America and around the world. But,
you know what? I have a question for you. How do you feel that Godzilla has won an award?
Godzilla took too damn long. Love Godzilla. It took too damn long, man. That giant, beastly, handsome creature. Giant. I stand with Godzilla. He deserves more awards. Godzilla is awesome. King Kong versus Godzilla coming out March 29th. Get ready.
I'm so excited.
Get ready. I'm so excited. So they're going to freaking, they're battling more monsters.
Bro.
Yep, Godzilla.
Godzilla got the Infinity Gauntlet.
King Kong got the Infinity Gauntlet,
yeah.
Yep. Godzilla and Kong, the new empire. Get ready. It's going to be awesome. March 29th. You're going to see, they're going to get weapons like freaking, yeah, King Kong has a freaking gauntlet now. That's insane. He also has his freaking hatchet. He has like that axe or whatever that he's using that has like crazy powers.
Godzilla achieved Super Saiyan Red.
Yeah, this is about to win Oscars, man. It's about to win Golden Globes. About to win. Oh, it's gonna be awesome.
I hear Mothra's coming back, possibly.
Oh yes, I mean King Ghidorah. I think we're gonna see like a mech version of him or something, probably. Right? We're gonna see obviously like the King Kong versus his own like family or something, right? So like that's crazy. We're gonna get other Kongs, and you know. So I'm expecting a lot of big creatures. Also, Godzilla Minus One. Have any of you seen that?
I have not yet.
I have not, but I want to. I heard it was really good, and it's been reviewed very well. So
one of the things
it also won an award.
I don't like the fact that so many of these, like, since we're talking about people entering fandoms and nerd culture. One thing that does kind of rub me a little badly is when new fans come in and then they are very knowledgeable about something. Like, the amount of, like, new Godzilla fans that came from Godzilla Minus One then try to talk about, like, they know shit or that the... It's always the same thing, too. It's always, like, how Godzilla is a... They always say, like, the Japanese have respected Godzilla more than the American side has. Like, Godzilla means a lot more, like, systematically over to in Japan, is what they're trying to claim. But it's just, like... No, I've watched a lot of the Toho films that Godzilla sometimes is literally just fucking goofy-ass fucking monster fighting other monsters in some films. In a good number of films, actually. Minus One was great because apparently it's supposed to be tying closer to like the original like horror of Godzilla from like the first film, which is heavily, you know, a metaphor for nuclear war in general, mankind creating weapons of mass destruction that are extremely powerful and how to stop them and how dangerous they are. But it doesn't mean like the other films are all about that, right? Because I doubt when Godzilla's doing some horizontal drop kicks on fucking other monsters. Yeah,
Mini-Zilla coming out that I don't think is a reference to the horrors of an atomical war.
Shit, I'd argue that the modern American Godzilla has some... There's some metaphor about it. What is it? I think it's like he's supposed to represent like the balancing forces of nature in the American version, the modern American versions.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? It's
probably something stupidly symbolic like that.
That shit fucking good by me. Listen, all I want to see is Godzilla beat the shit out of some monkeys.
You know what I want to see? Have you seen those memes? Have you seen those memes of just Godzilla versus King Kong? And then out comes, like, the dog with the baseball bat and they're running away?
I have not.
I'm going to have to show you that, but I want that. I want that image. Because it's so funny. Just... Keems, who's a dog, he's a doge, and he's just running out with a baseball bat, getting ready to beat the shit out of them. So shall we get ready to wrap up? Shall we get ready to call this an episode?
Yeah.
Okay, so for you ladies and gentlemen at home. I was just about to get to that, Gabe. For you ladies and gentlemen at home, we're bringing in a new addition to the show. Basically, at the end of the shows, we're going to read you an article about something that's going on in the world right now. These are typically not really going to have anything to do with the discussion, or they might. It depends. However, before we end, I would like to just briefly make mention of the event that happened today, reported by Megan Janitsky from Global News Canada. Hundreds in Mexico City take a mass nap to commemorate World Sleep Day. Lolling with bright blue yoga mats, sleep masks, and travel pillows, hundreds of Mexicans lay sprawled on the ground at the base of the city's iconic monument to the revolution to take a nap, dubbed the Mass Siesta. World Sleep Day. God, I wish I was there. That sounds incredible.
Same, bro. Shit. I'd fucking do that shit too. Be the first one in fucking line to like take a massive ass nap.
I was gonna say, make that a national holiday everywhere. Just go home, stop what you're doing, put the surgical supplies down, and just go take a nap. Just catch a couple Z's.
Take a nap.
But with that being the article of the week or of the month, depends on our next upload schedule. let's face it, it does. I'm here to say, sayonara, my name's been Michael. We've had the Wibu from the West. Gabe, any final words, comments?
Arrivederci, my friends. It's been fun.
Zach, anything that you want to say signing off?
Oh, thank you for listening to this episode. Stay tuned for more content in the future. We love having y'all. Thank you for the listen, for the views. Have a great rest of your day.
Wholesome. And shout I've been Michael. That. What, Gabe?
I was going to say shout out to that one guy listening in from Russia. Apparently, I was looking at the analytics earlier this week. I don't know any Russian
stuff. You know what? Shout out to that guy. I hope he's having a good day. And shout out to the hundreds who went to sleep today to commemorate Global Sleep Day, March 16th.
The true patriots out there.
The true warriors.
Of humanity, man.
Let's go. I love how it was by the Associated Press, too, that made comment of this. Someone out there was like, listen, there's a mass event happening in Mexico, and it's sleep related. Alright. I've been Michael.
I've been Gary.
Have a good evening. Thank you. And good night.